greet you in the name of Jesus.
And so we are here. And I trust that the Lord will take what He's given us to say. And of course, He's free to say whatever else He wants to say to you. He's good to do that. And trust that He will speak to you, lead you, guide you, direct you, encourage you. Hallelujah. Help you see the light at the end of that, you know, smoke screen that the devil has put in front of you. And because He is the way. Hallelujah. When there seems to be no way, He is the way. And so we trust that that's what we're going to have. And He will not disappoint. Glory to God. Amen. All right. So we've been talking about the fact that God wants abundance for us. Book of Genesis chapter 41. Joseph is the executive director of the deputy pharaoh. And as such, he has come up with a plan to get the nation out of famine. And so the crops begin to come in, and it starts to count and count and count and count. Verse 49 tells us it gets to the point where there was so much it couldn't be counted. Without number, the Bible says. And so that's God's will for us in every area of life. Not just when it comes to counting corn. It's God's will for peace. Bible talks about peace that passes all understanding. When you're peaceful, when all around you, all hell is breaking all loose around you. That's abundance. That's abundance of peace. Amen. Amen. Abundance of patience. When your last nerve, like they said, is frail, and you just keep calm and cool and collected. That's abundance. Amen. Abundance in wisdom and just knowing what to do. You remember, you know, they tried to trick Jesus. Shall we pay taxes? Shall we not? Right? I mean, talk about damned if you do, damned if you don't do. So the wisdom of God comes along the way and says, show me a coin. Whose image is that? They say Caesar. Well, I said, give to Caesar. What Caesar? Give to God. What's God? He threw it right in their face. Same thing when Solomon was faced with that situation. Those two women over that child. That's abundance. Abundance in wisdom. In knowing what to do next. You know that's what counseling is all about. People pay hundreds of thousands of dollars. I'm not knocking counseling. There's a place for that. There's a place for godly counsel. But you can stop but never again saying, I just don't know what to do. Or if you slip and find yourself saying that, you should immediately recognize, okay, I know what my problem is. I haven't asked Him who knows what I should do. Amen. If I asked Him, He would have told me what to do. Because God cannot expect you to do something that He hasn't told you to do. Amen. Amen. He's responsible to communicate it to you so clearly that all you have to do is obey. He does not expect you to figure out what to do. So you can do it. Oh, Jesus. My.
Amen.
That's His part. And He can well do it. Our part is to obey. My. So when you catch yourself saying, I just don't know what to do. That means you've been, up to this point, you've been trying to figure it out in your own mind. And you have run out of your wits. Which is maybe a good thing. Hallelujah. That's abundance. Right? When you always know what to do next. You may not like it, but you know. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. It's faithful. Amen. And certainly, abundance of money. Let's not leave that out. Abundance of money. Abundance when it comes to material possessions, which is what this verse is about. Okay? And so then we began to talk about how do you get to where you are enjoying this? Jesus said, I have come that you may have life. That's not enough. And have it more abundantly. How do you how How do you get to where you're having life more abundantly in all of these areas? Not just in one or two areas. Amen? In every area. The other day I was questioning the Lord. I said, Lord, how come I'm doing so well here and here? But have you ever been there? Amen. Abundance is available in every single area. And so we began to talk about how to enjoy that level of abundance. And we said there are seven key words. My goodness. You have to think. Your thinking could be the problem. Amen. You have to think that you are entitled. Being sheepish about it might be a problem. Entitled to have everything Jesus died for you to have. Entitled to have abundant life. You have to think that you are entitled to it. It's been bought and paid for you. You have to think that. If you don't, it can be a problem. Because if you don't think that, then you don't expect to enjoy it. You can't enjoy that which you don't expect to have. And because you don't expect to have it, your faith, which is the receiver, will not work for you to receive it. Huh? Faith will not work for you to receive it, even though God, faith will not work for you to receive it, even though God has given it. Seven words. You have to think that you are entitled to have the abundant life, so that you can expect to have it, so that your faith can work to receive it, because God has already given it. Amen. Seven key words. Amen. And we talked about that somewhat, and I want to answer the question today about how come more of us are not enjoying it in every area. You know, I dare say, none of us is really enjoying the abundant life in every single area. Like we ought to. Huh? Like we ought to. It's often the case that it's really great over here and wonderful. But over here it's like, oh, Lord Jesus. Huh? Oh, it's great here and here and here. But over here. Oh, it's great here and here and here and here. But then this is it. Huh? Victory is available in every single area, all the way to the utmost. Amen. Amen. So let's talk about why is it. The reason why more of us are not enjoying all the victory that Jesus died for us to have is because it is a fight. Amen.
Amen.
It's a fight. It's a fight. And some people don't want to fight. They don't want to fight. My. Some people start the fight, but they get knocked down and just lay there and get counted out. Some people start the fight, get knocked down, and right about when the ref says 5-6, they get up and go again. And they get knocked down again, and another count comes. They get up at 7. They get knocked down again, and then they say, you know what, no use. This is not going well. Let's just forget this fight. I mean, we're laughing about it, but that's the reality of what happens in every area of life if we're not winning and we have quit. We'll stop fighting. It's a fight. It is a fight. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. And so you have to be a fighter. You can't win a prize unless you compete, right? Mm-hmm. You fight for it. 1 Timothy chapter 6. The Bible tells us ahead of time, Jesus had to fight to stay on that cross. It didn't feel good. Amen. It was painful. Did you know Jesus felt every pain of those nails? Don't you? He wasn't anesthetized. You know that, right? He wasn't put under. He felt it to his core. It was as painful as you can just imagine. He didn't quit because of us. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. For his son so loved the world that he hung in there and fought to the end until he could say, it is finished. I'll talk about that in a minute here. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12 simply says, fight. Huh? Here's an invitation. Have you answered it yet? Did you get the card? Did you open it and read it? Huh? Card says, fight. I'm inviting you to fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. You know what that means? That means eternal life may be laying by the bedside. You're looking at it, but you haven't laid hold of it yet. You're sitting there wishing and wanting and desiring and slobbering and, you know, saliva and all that. Lay hold of it. Lay hold of eternal life. It's available. It's available. It's available. I said it's available. Amen. But you got to lay hold on it. You got to lay hold on it and not let go. Fight the good fight of faith. Yes. My. All right, so let's break that down. So it lets us know it is a fight. Woo! It's not a walk in the park. The just shall live by faith. That is not a walk in the park. It's a fight. Hallelujah. It's a fight. So if you know you're going to a fight, you got to get ready. You got to get ready in your mind. You can't be thinking, okay, well, this is going to end tomorrow. No. It's going to end whenever it ends. Well, however long it takes, I'm a fight. I'm in it to win it.
Amen.
It's a fight. So it tells us it is fight, and it tells us you are the fighter. Not God. Not God. God's not your fighter. You're the fighter. He's already done his part. It was a fight, like I said, to stay on that cross. It was a fight. You remember in the garden? Do you not remember in the garden of Gethsemane? He said, Lord, Father, is there any other way to do this? Huh? Three times. Why? Because in his humanity, his flesh, he knew how painful this would be. But he fought through it. Bible says he fought until his sweat beads were blood. Don't expect any less. It's a fact. The devil is not going to lay down and just roll over and let you have the abundant life. He won't do that. Never. Hallelujah. It's a fight, and it's your fight. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, it's not if your neighbor is not going to fight it for you. Your wife will not. Your husband will not. Your brother, your sister, your father, your mother. It is your fight. You fight the good fight of faith. If you want to enjoy that abundance, that's what it's going to take. So, it is a fight. And it is your fight. You're the one to fight it, not God. Okay? Now, there are instances when the Bible has told us that is your children wait in his gospel. But even then, you do some fighting. You just don't do all of it. You remember when God delivered Israel from Egypt and they got to the Red Sea, and they looked and saw Pharaoh change his mind. He was rushing to come take them back. What were we thinking? Why did we let go of our free labor? Let's go get them back. So here he comes. And God put a cloud between Israel and Pharaoh, the Egyptians. But there's a Red Sea in front of them. There's no bridge. What's that bridge in San Francisco, what they call it? The gate, something gate free?
Yeah.
There's no bridge. And so God tells Moses, Moses said, let's look at it. Let's look, I'm trying to tell you about it. Look at Exodus chapter 14. I'm trying to save time so I can have the rest of my 2 hours. Exodus chapter 14. Verse number 4. Exodus 14. Look at verse 14. The Lord shall fight for you. And you shall hold your peace. Did you know it takes a fight to be in peace? When all hell is breaking around you, that's a fight. Amen. You shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, why are you crying unto me? Stretch forth your hand over the water. You know that. And then he did. He put his hand across the water and the water congealed. On the right, on the left. And the path was made. Okay? God has done his part. But guess what? You got to walk through that. Have you ever seen anything like that before in your life? You are looking at the water. Huh? What's the devil telling you? Any second now, this thing will come crashing. So don't do it. Huh? But right now, you're close to the bank. You know, worst case scenario, you can swim back, get out. But what happens when you get to the middle of this thing and the water comes crashing? Huh? You see that little one you have by your side? What are you going to do? You got not just one, you got 2-3 kids on. Don't go forward. This thing could come down any day now. Any minute now, any second now. So they had to fight through that. What I'm trying to get you to see. They had to fight through that and say, God said it. He did it. I'm looking at it. The least I can do is, even when my knees are shaking, I'm going forward. So even when God said, the Lord, even with the Lord's fight, it's always your part. It's always your part to fight the good fight of faith. So it is a fight, and it is your fight. Woo! But thank God, it is a good fight. Ooh, glory, hallelujah. What is a good fight? It's a fight you can't lose. In fact, it's a fight you've already won. Ooh, glory. It's a fight whose end is prearranged. That's a good fight. Now, if you know it's already, why would you even hesitate to get in the ring when you know you're coming out with a prize? But somehow or other, the devil is able to complicate it for us. You know? One time, we'll get it right, and then here comes another time, we'll forget what happened last time. You got to apply the same formula. Fight the good fight of faith. It's a done deal. You already, we win. We've read the end of the book. Like somebody said, Gloria Copeland said, my mother in the faith said, if this wasn't the devil, you would say it's not a fair fight. The only reason it's a fair fight is because the devil is your opponent. You know. Hallelujah. It's a good fight. Mm-hmm. It's a good fight. We win. It's a fight where the past has fixed the present and the future. What happened 2,000 years ago has fixed the present and has fixed the future forever to our advantage. Amen. It's a good fight. Woo, thank God. Glory, glory, glory. It's a good fight.
Amen.
Amen. Here's something else. It's also a fight of faith. It is a fight. It is your fight. It is a good fight. But what kind of fight it is? It is a fight of faith. It is not the fight of your IQ, how bright you are, how brilliant you are. Not a muscle fat, how muscular, how strong you are. Huh? Not how hard working you are. Nothing wrong with any of those. Amen. Good to have high IQ. Good to have a lot of muscles. Good to have to be a hard worker. But it is a fight of faith. Hallelujah. If you're going to enjoy the abundant life, you have to know, what does that mean, the fight of faith? It is a fight to believe what God said instead of what you're looking at. Instead of what you're hearing. Instead of what you feel. Huh? It is a fact to believe what God said instead of what looks like anything but Jesus. That's a fact. You have to be willing to engage in it. Huh? You have to be willing to tell your mind, shut up. I'm going with God. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm moved only by what thus says the Lord. It's a fact. For you tell yourself, I'm healed, even though your arm hurts. Huh? You can feel the pain that you say. I'm going with God. He says I'm healed. He knows better. I agree with him. And you take that posture, and it's not long until that pain has to go. It has to go. If it doesn't, then God is a liar.
Amen.
See that mind, mental posture? That's a fight. A lot of people are not willing to go with it. They refuse to believe what God says because there's pain in their body. They would rather believe what they can feel, what they can see, what they have heard, because that's more real to them. They refuse to fight through that and believe what this book says anyway. It's a fight. If you're not willing to fight, you can forget it. Like I said, we're going to send you a saddle home. Woo, glory. It's a fight of faith. A fight to believe what God says. And to keep believing it, even if what you're seeing is getting worse and worse and worse as far as being different than what God said. You can't start believing and then quit. That's like getting in the ring and then first time you get knocked down, just laying down, get counted out. Can't do that. Gotta get up. Whoo, glory.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Started believing God for finances. Next thing you know, your company goes bankrupt. So now things have gotten worse.
Yes.
But you got to keep believing. You can't say, oh, well. I guess this doesn't work. I started believing again. The devil is trying to catch you out. I mean, you can lay there and take a couple of breaths. Well, the ref goes to 1, 2, 3, 4, but make sure you get out before it says 10. Get yourself together and get up before it gets to 10. Amen. What do you think? What happens to your opponent? Yeah, we're talking about the devil now, right? When he thinks this time, they are out for sure. And it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and just before it gets to 10, then you come getting up. And they're like, oh, man, we got to do this again? But that's a fighter. That's the person, that's the believer that is going to enjoy the abundant life.
Amen.
Too many believers are going to get laid there and get counted out. It's a fight of faith. Faith. A fight of faith, meaning a fight to believe what God said. What does it mean to believe? I've said it, I keep saying it. So many folks don't get it. To believe is to accept what this book says as fact or truth. Even though you have no evidence that it is so, only because it says so. Because of your trust in it, that it is the word of God, because of your trust in God's word, you don't have to have any other evidence that what it says is so. Because it said it, you accept it. That's it. That's believing. That's Bible believing. To accept as fact or truth because the word says so, without any necessity for corroborating evidences. That's belief. But you're not in faith just yet because you believe. Faith is not the same thing as belief. Belief is first step. Now, having accepted what God said, Now you have to act like it is so. That's when faith shows up. Faith is belief plus action. That's the mathematical formula for faith. Believe and action. Not just believe. There are a lot of people who believe that Jesus is Son of God. That he died for the sins of the world. That he went to the cross. But guess what? They're not born again. Why? Because they haven't acted on it. They haven't acted on that belief. They haven't said, Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. They believe it. They go to church at Easter and Christmas or something. They believe it. But they have never acted on it. Faith is belief plus action. And there are times when you have to actually do some active activity. In most of the cases, it's in your mind, refusing to worry about the situation. Because you believe and you're acting on that belief that God is handling it for you. So you refuse to worry about it. You refuse to be stressed out about it. You refuse to have anxiety about it. That's the action that is necessary in most cases. Because God is handling it. The devil, the Bible says, the devils believe and tremble. But they never act on it. And so it's a fight of faith. So it's a fight of faith. It's a fight to believe what God said. To keep believing it. To act on what you believe and keep acting on it. That's the fight. That's the fight. Believe it, act on it. Keep believing it, keep acting on it until the manifestation. And most Christians don't want to engage in that fight. This verse also tells us to lay hold. You lay hold. To lay hold on eternal life. To reach out there and grab it. This is mine. I take it. It's mine now. I'm done with sickness and disease. I'm done with poverty. I'm done with mental anguish. I'm done with depression. Lay hold on. It's an aggressive act. It's a fight to do that. Lay hold. And eternal life. What does that mean? Claim it. Claim it. Just like the post service person comes along and puts a piece of paper in your box, you take it and you go claim the product. You claim it. Hallelujah. Claim eternal life. Refuse to give it up. Claim all the benefits of eternal life beyond being born again. Claim the benefits of eternal life regarding sickness and disease, regarding poverty. Not just being born again. Born again is wonderful, but what about the right here and now? What you going to do about the right here and now? Eternal life also has the answers to that. But you got to lay hold on it. How? By professing it. That's how you got born again. You said, Jesus, you are my Lord. You professed it. So what should you do? I'm healed. Profess healing. Profess prosperity. Say it. And believe it. And expect it. I'm laying there making plans about, I wonder how much money I've got in my savings. How long would that going to last? I see that. you're not. Glory. How long would Jesus last, you think? Glory to God. Yeah. Put him in your bank account. Glory to God forever. Who Jesus you, man? I tell myself that, you get to be the age, every now and then, almost every week you hear that this person who is about your age is having this thing and having that thing and having the other. You go to play tennis and they're talking about this, talking about that. I tell myself, the blood of Jesus flows through my veins. And my veins are this clear. I literally do this. That's how clear they are. No blockages in this body from the top to the bottom. None at all. See, I say it and expect it. I just read the other day that apparently there's a shortage. There's either there is or going to be a shortage of doctors in Texas. And so now, usually, up to now, they expect when people come from other countries to be doctors here, they require at a minimum of 3-year residency and all that. And they're about to take that away. And I thought, oh boy. I mean, I like more food, but I like tasty food too. You get my point? These folks want to know what they're doing. And then I thought, it wouldn't apply to me. I just feel sorry for folks who don't have Dr. Jesus as their physician. So you got to talk it. You got to expect it. You got to not worry about something when you hear it. Huh? Hallelujah. That's fighting. Amen. You lay hold on eternal life. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. You talk victory. And you expect victory. Alright, look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. You're going to find here that Paul, having told us to fight the good fight of faith, he himself did fight the good fight of faith. Until he could say, it is finished. Just like Jesus did. And so Jesus is an example, but so is the Apostle Paul. 2 Timothy chapter 4, look at verse 7. I have fought a good fight. Glory to God. I told you to fight the good fight of faith, and I'm here to tell you I have done it. And so can you. Hallelujah. So can you. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And I'm now ready to depart. They tried to kill him, I don't know how many times. Well, actually, I do know how many times. I taught it once. He wouldn't die until it was time to go, just like Jesus. Huh? And that's supposed to be your testimony. To go when you want. When you're done. When you're finished what you're called to do. Yeah, I don't know what I don't know what I'm called to do. That's your fault. Have you asked him? See that? Have you ever asked him, Lord, what have you called me to do? Amen. He'll tell you. Because if he's called you to do something, then how can he expect you to do it when he hasn't told you what it is? Amen? Would that make any sense? Oh no. God is at least as sensible as you are, isn't he? Huh? Somebody works for you or something? Or you want them to help you or something? Hey, they show up and you just won't tell them what you want them to help you with? How can they help you if you don't tell them? You can't do what God wants you to do unless he tells you to do it. Huh? And so he's obligated to make it crystal clear to you what it is he wants you to do. Amen. But you gotta ask. You gotta ask. And once you find out, until you're done, you're not ready to die yet. Amen. And they can't kill you yet. Can't kill you ever. That's his perfect. Here comes abundance. Abundance is you live your life, you do the will of God, you finish it like Jesus did, like Paul did, like Peter did, like Stephen did. And a number of other examples, and then you go on. Think about this now. If you leave your work undone, somebody else is going to have to do theirs and yours. That's not fair, is it? Ooh, glory. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 I have fought a good fight. I have finished my race. So let's break that down. Notice again, it said I fought. It's a fight. And I fought it. I entered the ring. And I stayed in there until the last round, like the song says. Amen. Mm-hmm. Stay in the ring until the last round. Just because you get knocked down, get up and go again. You want some of me? Come on. Come on. That's all you got? Come on. Amen. Amen. I know you're defeated anyway, devil. It's all bluster and bluff. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many times the devil has told me I'm going to kill you. I'm like, I laugh. Amen. I tell you, you go to heaven. I tell you what, devil. Tell you what. You go to heaven. Go bring Jesus back down here. Take him down to hell. And then keep him there. and then come talk to me, okay? I tell them, until you do that, get out of my sight. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. And just thought, just driving to church today. I told my wife, I tell her, do you ever get thoughts like this? I'm driving, you know, up there on I-35, they have all those walls because they're fixing the place. And you know, the lanes are a little narrow sometimes. So here I am, here's this wall. I'm just driving, coming to church, and all of a sudden the thought said, what if your car were to hit that thing and it swung around and it caused a big traffic? I'm like, I said, I don't permit that. I do not permit that. So it ain't gonna happen, devil. Talk to him. You have thoughts like that? Don't just try to get them out of your mind. Talk to it. That's the quickest way for those thoughts to vanish. See, that's a fight. That's a fight. And I'm gonna get you a minute. But see, I have fought a good fight. I have finished. You know, sometimes it's easier to start than to finish, right? How many projects have been left unfinished? Amen? They were started, but, you know, this came and this distraction came and this other one came. Not finished. Finishing takes a fight. You got to fight to finish it. I fought. I got in the ring and I stayed there until I finished this thing. It says, I finished my course. Huh? Not anybody else's course. Sometimes we're engaged in somebody else's fight. No. Your fight for your healing, for your prosperity, for your sound mind, for your family, for your fight. You see, I finished my course. I stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. Amen. Like, you know, you remember those athletics, the 100 meters or 200 or 400 and relay and all that, you got to stay in your lane. Or you get disqualified. I have fought the fight. I've stayed in my lane. And I have kept the faith. Huh? Keeping something implies that it belongs to a certain place, in a certain condition, right? And there are forces coming against you for that thing to be dislodged. So it says, I have kept the faith. I fought for it. Amen. Now look at Acts chapter 20. Again, this is Paul. So he tells us to do what he has done. You know, this is not one of those, you know, do as I say, but not as I do. No. He told us, fight the good fight of faith. And then there's plenty of examples of where he did it. Here's another one. Acts chapter 20. Book of Acts chapter 20. Verse 22. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit, meaning I'm compelled by the Holy Spirit to go to Jerusalem. I don't know exactly all that will befall me there. I do know some stuff. Verse 23, the Holy Ghost has already witnessed in every city along the way, saying that it's going to be rough. In fact, if you read the entire story, there were some believers that told him not to go. But knowing that it's going to be rough, a prophet got up and prophesied and said it's going to be rough. So other believers say, well, don't go. Paul said, no, that doesn't mean don't go. It just means that I'm to be prepared. See, that's a fire. That's a fire. Hallelujah. That's the fire. The Holy Ghost witnessed in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions are by me, are waiting for me. But none of these things move me. Hallelujah. This is not a stubborn person. This is a determined person. There's a difference. Huh? There's a difference. Stubborn is when you know you should change, but you just won't admit that you've been wrong. That's stubborn, and that's not so good. But determined, I know there are obstacles, but I'm going to fight my way through this. Because I know what's at the end of it all. Woo, glory. And then what we're doing, at the end of it all, is Jesus saying, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's why, put your finger, we'll come back. Look at the book of Hebrews. Here's why Jesus went through all of that. Through the his beard being pulled and being punched, being lied on and being crucified. He looked past all of that to what was coming at the end of it. Hebrews chapter 12. Look at verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also compass about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. He made the calculation. All of this is going to be worth it when it's all said and done. Hallelujah. And that's the kind of posture we have to take. All right, go back to Book of Acts chapter 20. He said, none of these things move me. Verse 24. Acts 20, 24. None of these things move me. Yeah, I know. It's going to be rough. Maybe rough. But oh, I know I have victory. I know the end result. I've read the end of the book. I win. Hallelujah. Round 2 and 3 of this 10-round fight is not looking too good. But I know at the end of round 10, I'll be standing up at the victor. Hallelujah. So why should I quit in round 2, round 1, round 2, and 3, and 4? Well, I know that once we get to round 10, at the end of it, they will raise my hand up as a champion. Hallelujah. Fight. The good fight of faith. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. I pledge my very life to this cause. Amen. Not going to quit. I know the end. And so he tells us to fight the good fight of faith, and he himself does it. None of these things move me, he says. Okay? Look at Ephesians chapter 6. If you have any doubt at all that the Christian walk is a fight, this passage is one of those passages that makes it crystal clear that it is a fight. If you're going to enjoy abundant life in any area of life, it's going to be a fight that you're willing to engage in, and you should be, because it is a good fight. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. And finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Ephesians 6, 11. Put on the whole armor. Okay, well, now I'll let you know. Put it on. It's not telling you, this is not a suggestion. You are in a fight, like it or not. If you don't put it on, you're going to be whooped. You're going to call yourself a Christian and be busted, disgusted, broke, and everything else. And you go to heaven, of course, you will, but you won't take anybody with you. He said, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Let you know who the enemy is. Let you know who the enemy is. The enemy is not your neighbor. It's not your boss that hasn't promoted you, giving you a raise. Amen. Enemy is not your husband, wife, or your wife, or your sister, brother, or your father, mother, parent, teenager. Your parents are not your enemy. Hallelujah. The enemy is the devil. And he would love for you to think those other folks are the real enemy. That way you will never get the bottom of it. Amen. 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 Your enemy, black folk, enemy is not white folks. Oh yeah. They've done some bad things, but guess who put them to it? Who do you think originated racism and slavery and all of that? That's what we're writing about right here. And he will love for us to not know that he is a real enemy. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's who he is. He uses people. For we wrestle not. Well, now that's a fight, is it not? Mm-hmm. It tells you we wrestle. It's not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle. If you're going to win, you can't keep from wrestling. My. Who is it you're wrestling against? Oh, he already told you. The devil. Not your brother, sister, mother, father, neighbor. The devil. Not the government. Not the police. The devil. That's the enemy. Never lose sight of that. For we wrestle. It's a wrestle. It's a wrestling match. But it's a good one. Because we win. Amen. Hallelujah. We wrestle, but it's not against flesh. Not against blood, not against humans. It's against, now it gives you classes of demons that they're wrestling against. Principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness, right? In high places, which is why you must take on the whole armor. It's telling you why you got to put that armor on. You are in a fight, like it or not. Unless you want, isn't that something? You are in the ring, whether you know it or not. Shouldn't you better put on your boxing gloves at least? Put on that thing to protect yourself? Because if you're not, here comes the devil. He's going to bloody you up. Oh, my. Oh, yeah. You're going to be a punching bag if you don't do something quick. It's a fight. It's a good fight. Oh, glory. It's a good fight of faith. And we win. If we just engage in it. All we got to do is engage in it and not disengage. Isn't that great news? Engage and don't disengage. At the end of it, you win. Hallelujah. My. Therefore, verse 13, make sure you put on that whole armor. Whole. Not all of them. Not just some of them. W-H-O-L-E, whole armor, so that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. The evil day is the day of the fight, when the devil challenges you. And having done all of this, stand. Engage and don't disengage. You've got it made in the shape. My goodness. You got the blood. You got the word. You got the name of Jesus on the line for. He is making intercession for you. Urging you on. Hallelujah. How can we, Dr. Cherry used to say, how can we lose with the stuff with the stuff we use? I'm going to get an that scripture minute here. If my time is such a time. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, just stay engaged. Don't disengage. Don't quit. Hallelujah. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. That's a part of the weapon. The word of God. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. Remember who you are, just like we're saying. Remember, you are the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't forget. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's a part of your armor. Peace. Amen. Don't let him take your peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, because it is a fight of faith. It's a good fight of faith. Taking the shield of faith, with which you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts. Apparently, somebody is throwing darts at you. And you have to have that shield to quench it. It's a fight. What do you mean, darts? If this was going to work, it should have worked by now. See, that's a dart. Your mama died with this. Your grandma died with this. You probably going to die with that too. That's a dart. My. You got to quench that with shield of faith. I belong to a new family now. The family of Jesus. And he never died. He's alive. He's alive. And so am I. Yeah. Still longer than I thought. But this is just round 10. This is a baseball game. We don't play 9-inning game. We play innings and innings and innings until we win. Glory to God.
Amen.
My father's an umpire. And I've got Jesus' bat. Woo! Glory to God forever. See, you got to quench those darts. Darts in your mind. To cause you to quit. To relax on that canvas and get counted out. Let's just get this over with. See, that's a dart. Let's just get this over with. I'm tired. See, that's a dart. That's a dart. The fiery darts of the wicked. Thoughts thrown in your mind. To get you to disengage and to quit fighting the good fight of faith. He says, verse 17, take the helmet of salvation. No, you are saved. Huh? You are a saved one. Saved from what? From sickness, from disease, from pain, from poverty. Huh? Saved from hell too, of course. Remember that. The sword of the Spirit. Oh, we must be in a fight. You have a sword. Use it. Glory to God. Use it. What is the sword? It is the word of God. Use it against pain. By his stripes, I was healed. You just took your sword and just wiped it. Hallelujah. Praying. That's another weapon. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Unto me, for me, that utterance may be given me. Look at verse number 29. For which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly. That's a weapon. Be bold about it. Hallelujah. Faith is bold.
Amen.
The Bible says the wicked flee when no man pursue it, but the righteous are bold as a lion. When you know you've already won, you can't be bold. Amen. If you're going to this and not knowing how it's going to turn out, but if you know the end of the book, you have won. You can be bold right now. So if you didn't know you're in the fight, this lets you know. It talks about weapons, talks about armor, talks about the shield, talks about fiery darts, talks about the sword. This is a fight. This is a fight. Not a walk in the park. But remember now, it's a good fight. It's one that you want. All you've got to do is engage in it and don't disengage. My. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. John 10:10, you know what that says? The thief cometh. Let me show you something. Look at John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 10. It says, the thief cometh not. John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to steal. He comes to do it. That means he's going to do it. Unless you don't fight him. I mean, if you know someone that's coming to steal your stuff, would you just let him have it? Wouldn't you put up a fight? If you knew they were coming to kill you, wouldn't you put a fight? Wouldn't you put up a fight? Just go ahead, take your shot. You fight. You put up a fight. He comes to steal, to kill. If you know there's someone that comes to destroy you, you should put up a fight. It says, but what exactly is he coming to kill, steal, and destroy? He tells us right there. I'm come that you may have life. See, that's it. Life. That's what he's after. The abundant life. He wants to kill it, steal it, destroy it. And if you don't put up a fight, you just might be able to do it. You just might be able to do it. If you don't put up a fight. Too many Christians have not put up a fight. Don't want to fight. He comes to steal. That means he's going to get to do it. If you put up a fight, he won't get to do it. Thank you, Lord. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. It's a fight. It's why too many Christians do not enjoy more of the abundant life. And for all of us, that applies to all of us. If there's any area of life that you're not enjoying yet, make sure that you're still in the ring about it. Amen. Maybe it could be we're in round 4 of a 10-round fight. But you got to make sure that you're still engaged. That you haven't laid back down and let yourself be counted out. 1 Peter chapter 5. Here's some wonderful Holy Ghost advice to fight this fight and be successful. It says, be sober, verse 8. Be sober. What does that mean? Get yourself together. Think straight. Shake your head. Slap your cheek if you have to. Amen. Think straight. Be sober. And then it says, be vigilant. Be watchful. Watch out. Watch out for the devil. Because your adversary, well, you must be in the fight. You have an adversary. And he tells you exactly who he is. The devil. Like I said, not your mama, not your daddy, not your neighbor. It's the devil. As a roaring lion, he ain't no lion. But he comes as one. The only lion is the lion of the tribe of Judah. He ain't no lion. But he comes as one. Pretends to be one. Roar so you can immobilize you. Bluster and I'm going to kill you. If you could have done it, you'd already done it a long time ago. Why haven't you done it yet? Get out of my sight. Walking about. He's walking about seeking. Notice he just can't pounce on you. He pounces on folks who don't put up a fight. He pounces on Christians who will not put up a fight. That pain will remain until you put up a fight. What you don't fight, you have authorized to remain. He walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Did you notice that? This is not a foregone conclusion. Depends if you put up a fight or not. If you don't, he will devour you. If you do, he's going to go find some other victim. Some non-fighting victim. He's walking about looking. If you could pass on anybody he wanted to, he wouldn't have to walk around looking. Would he? he would just pounce. But no, he's got to find somebody who is not going to put up a fight. Who's going to say, oh, devil, oh, you want my help? Hey, you have it. You want my money? Have that too. You want my mind? There you go. Please, just leave me alone. Thank you very much. Oh, no. You take your sword out. You don't want to get cut by this. Don't come anywhere near me. Glory to God. Amen. Fight. A good fight of faith. Yes. Be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, is a lion. Whom you may be. And it tells us what to do. Look at this advice. Whom resist. He said, this is another way of saying fight. Mm-hmm. Put up a fight, for goodness sakes. Don't just lay there and get run over. Resist. Whom resist. Notice, resist steadfast. Don't just start resisting and then quit. Keep resisting until he decides, okay, I'm not making any headway here. I better go find somebody else. Amen. Amen. Steadfast in the faith, knowing. My goodness. I got 5 minutes. I haven't finished this. Alright, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Here's another passage that lets you know it's a fight. Okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're not going to read all of this, but you should know it. This one also lets you know it's a fight. In fact, it starts by saying verse 4. It says, for the weapons of our warfare. Well, let's start from verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, although we're humans, We do not war in the flesh. Well, we war, but not in the flesh. So let you know there is a war raging. You are in it. And then tells you the weapons. For the weapons of our warfare, not carnal, mighty through God. Okay. I think my time is up. But it's next Sunday, right? We'll finish this up next Sunday. Glory to God. It's a fight. It's a good fight. Hallelujah. It's a good fight of faith. And it's a fight that we win. We have already won it. I'm going to tell you this. And then we'll quit. I was going to try to get to this point. It's the most important point of all. Because it's like, okay, well, Pastor, if it's a fight and we were wanting, why are we still fighting? I'll tell you why. We are fighting. Not to get victory. We're fighting to maintain our victory.
Yeah.
Oh, that is so important. That must be what, again, we'll come back to think again. That must be what you think. That must be what you're thinking. You're fighting not to get something. You're fighting to keep what Jesus already fought and gave to you. Amen. You're not fighting to get territory. You're fighting to maintain territory. I'm going to say it again next week. Very important. So that must be your way you think. You're not fighting to gain ground. You're fighting to maintain ground that Jesus already fought and got for you. That's what it's about. It's not about getting something. It's about maintaining. It's by refusing to have the thief steal from you. When a thief comes, they're not trying to come get something you don't already have. Right? You already have it. They're trying to take what you already got. And the fight is to make sure they don't get it. That's it. And you have to think like that. You can't be thinking, I'm fighting to get healed. No, I am the healed, and the devil is trying to make me sick. I will not let him do that. That's your posture. Father, we thank you. That you've already fought and won. You are the victor. You are the conqueror, and you made us more than conquerors. Because we didn't even have to go face the devil in hell. You did it. We didn't have to fight to get. We just fight to maintain. To lubricate and oil this thing that you've already got for us. Glory to God. Thank you. Thank you for further revelation about this. That we might have a proper attitude so that we can enjoy more abundant life in the areas that we're enjoying some. I enjoy abundant life in the areas we're not enjoying any of it. Because it's already been got and given. We receive it. We receive it. We receive it. In the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 My friend, do you know Jesus? If you don't, you should know this friend, this warrior that fought, won territory for you. You can begin today. You probably believe that he lived, that he was a good person. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and clothed the naked and all that. You believe that, but have you ever acted on what you believe and asked him to come into your heart? It's time to do that. It's not enough to believe. You have to act on it so you can become your Lord and Savior and become your true guide through life. Say this. Say, Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. And I thank you for saving me, for taking my place, taking my sins. Thank you, Jesus. Lead me to a church that will teach me how to live a victorious life. I receive my prayer language. I receive my health. I receive my money. I receive my peace of mind. I receive my joy. And I thank you for all of it. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Friend, if you prayed that, whether you feel differently or not, some of you probably feel differently, but whether you feel differently or not, he did it. Exactly what he said, because he's not a man that he should lie. Amen. And so, walk with him. Let him lead you to a church. He'll teach you these things. And so you can begin to enjoy abundant life. If you live anywhere around here in Austin, the Austin area, come see us. We've got plenty of room here for you. If not, keep watching. And because we'll be back here next week, same time. Until then, fight the good fight of faith. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.